Romans chapter 4. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the faith of Father Abraham, and it'll apply to everybody in the room, amen? Just because it's Father's Day doesn't mean mothers or women, mothers or women are being left out, amen? We never leave out women around here. You know why? Because we're mostly women at the moment, amen? That'd be a dumb thing to do, amen? Anybody who wouldn't preach the gospel to a room full of women, who'd leave out the women and just preach to the men, is so dumb that if they threw a rock at the ground, they'd miss. Romans chapter 4, if you would. Amen? Hallelujah. Just a little pulpit humor. Come on now. Let's wake up this morning. Amen? Hallelujah. I command you to laugh at my jokes today. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. We'll just pick it up here in 16. Hallelujah, glory, glory, glory be to God. Therefore, it, the promise of salvation, we call it the blessing around here, amen, is of faith. The blessing is of faith. The blessing of Abraham that we've inherited as believers in Christ Jesus, amen. It is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Say, Abraham is the father of us all. The New Living Testament calls Abraham the father of all who believe. The Message Bible calls Abraham our faith father. He's our faith father. He's the father, the Bible says, of all who believe. Amen? We're instructed in Scripture to study the life of Abraham and learn how to walk by faith from him. He's the father of our faith. Isn't it interesting, at least it is to me, Moses performed 42 miracles. He personally performed 42 miracles through the gift called the working of miracles. That's when God allows a human being to borrow his power and perform the miracle themselves. 42 miracles he performed himself. And then through what we call miracles of God, God performed 16 miracles in Moses' presence. But Moses is not called the father of our faith. Elijah performed 16 miracles. Elisha performed at least 32 miracles. But neither of those two men are called the father of our faith. Abraham never really performed miracles. Abraham experienced miracles of God, but he's not known as a miracle worker. He's known for miraculous victory in battle. He's known for miraculous conception of his child. He's known to have lived a miraculously long life, but he's not known as a miracle worker. And he's the one who's called the father of our faith. Because he knew how to walk. You know, hallelujah. You know, the Apostle Paul teaches that teaching is more important than miracles. He even lists the gift, the office of the teacher, two times in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, before the working of miracles. Teaching is more important than miracles, but everybody's chasing after miracles. Amen? Why is teaching more important than miracles? Well, miracles, number one, won't bring you up to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. You won't mature being around miracles. You mature being around God's Word. The Word of God teaches us how to mature in Him, not miracles. Amen? Miracles won't produce mature believers. But teaching will produce mature believers and miracles. How does faith come? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the precious, holy, written Word of God. And that's why we're teaching on miracles for the rest of this year. That's why the Lord put it on my heart. Continue with the theme of miracles throughout the rest of the year. We believe in miracles. We've experienced miracles. We believe we will experience more miracles. Because when you teach on salvation, preach on salvation, people get saved. Preach and teach on healing, people get healed. Preach and teach on miracles, and miracles occur. There will be miracles occurring in our midst. But we don't build on miracles. We build on the Word of God. the healing revival of the 1940s and 1950s that swept across this nation. Over 100 healing evangelists in this country leading millions to the Lord through tent evangelism. That healing revival ended primarily for two reasons. They were building on miracles. Now, God uses miracles to get people saved. Don't get me wrong. Miracles are the dinner bell to salvation. But those evangelists built on miracles, built on miracles, built on miracles, built on miracles. And they didn't build on the proper teaching of God's Word. They got a lot of people saved, but they left them goofed up. And then they started having snacks and drinks in the sanctuary during the meetings. They started opening concession stands in the back of the tents, and people were sitting down while the Word of God was being preached, and they're drinking Pepsi and Coke and eating popcorn and hot dogs. It's not all about the show. It's all about the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen? And Brother Hagin himself has said, he said, as soon as they started inviting snacks into the sanctuary, that's when God said, it's enough. That's disrespectful. Amen? That's why we discourage people from bringing soda pop in here, coffee in here. If you want to bring water, you can bring water. That's okay. But we'll never allow snacks in this place. Amen? And we'll never serve, we'll never get a little cart of Krispy Kreme donuts and push it up the aisle like some churches do in the Midwest. That's what they do. One church that Barbara and I are very, very acquainted with, we pastored in the same community as this pastor, just outside of Oklahoma City, selling snacks during the service. It'll never happen here. Amen? We'll feed you the Word of God. You want something to eat? Paul said, go home and eat. Amen? Hallelujah. So how did I get off into that? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. We're talking about the faith of Abraham. And I was pointing out the fact to you that all these performing prophets in Scripture, none of them are called the father of our faith. But Abraham is called the father of our faith. Abraham knew how to walk with God and trust God and stick with God. Even when those times came where he preferred anything else to it, he stuck by the Father's side. And God said, you'll do. You can be my body's faith father. I like the way you do business, Abraham. I like the way you trust in me and not in circumstances. I like the way you keep saying things like, God will make a way where there is no way, Isaac. Amen? He's the father of our faith. I'm encouraging you this morning. It's Father's Day. Hallelujah. So build on my word and not on my gifts, says the Spirit of grace. Build on my word and not on my gifts and not on miracles, says the Spirit of grace. For it is my word that will see you through every time. Have I not said in my word that I have magnified my word even above my name? So make much of my word. Make much of my word. Even as I make much of my word, for I have said in my word, I magnify my word above my name. And if you will build on my word, if you will magnify my word, if you will make much of my word, I will make much of your needs, says the Spirit of grace. Do you receive that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's a good word from God. Amen. I believe you'll find in Psalm 138, verse 2, where God said, I have magnified my word even above my name. You might have to go look that up. Amen? Hallelujah. Bible says Abraham's the father of us all. Amen? Adam's our earthly father. Jehovah God is our heavenly father. Adam's our earthly father. Our bodies come from him. Amen? He's our flesh father. Jehovah God is our spirit father, our heavenly father, but Abraham is the father of our faith, and we are to follow his faith example as we walk out our probationary period here on planet Earth, and we are on probation. Amen? So this morning we're going to look at some of the lessons that Abraham gave us concerning walking by faith. Amen. And even as I said, if you're not a dad, you're a spiritual leader to someone. You are a spirit, male or female. There's someone in your life. And if not, they're about to come into your life, soon to come into your life, that God has appointed you a mentor over them. And these principles we're going to talk about today, God will use to make you a blessing to them. Amen? I wasn't so fortunate, as many of you know, as to have a natural father who was a spiritual man. My natural dad, he is meaner than a junkyard dog. He was a mean old goat of a man. Amen? I want you to know I forgive him. I'm not railing on him. Amen? He's in heaven waiting for me now with a note of apology, which I will accept as soon as I see him and kiss him on the cheek and tell him I don't even need to read it. Let's just walk from this point on. Amen? I will have the relationship in heaven with my Father, which the devil was determined I would not have with him while I was on the earth. Amen? It used to trouble me greatly why God birthed me into the earth through such a mean human being. He was mean to me. Amen? And my mother was out of control. Amen? Hallelujah. She just could not constrain herself. Hallelujah. She was like a Home Shopping Channel freak. You know you're in trouble when you call the Home Shopping Network and the operators recognize your voice. That's my mother. Amen? She was compulsive. She was self-centered. She was selfish. She encouraged my dad to be cruel to me. And I could never understand why God birthed me into that relationship. Why them, God? I've cried out to God. Why these two? You know what the Lord showed me? They have natural attributes which they've abused and never bothered to develop in my word, that I wanted imparted to you, natural attributes that I wanted imparted to you. Like my mother's dogged determination. My mother would get on something, you weren't going to pull her off it. You weren't going to pry her off it with a crowbar. Whether it was illegal, immoral, or unscriptural, she locked her mind on something, and you weren't going to back her off. She decided she's going to do something. That's it. It's done. Right or wrong. Amen. I got that from my mother. That's why I'm still up here preaching on Cape Cod. Amen. I got natural things. We all get natural things from both of our parents. God births us into the families in the earth that He does on purpose. You were conceived in His mind before you even came through this earth. And He chose the people that He was going to birth you through. There were natural things that He wanted to impart to you that were in both of your parents that He needed to use for the development of His kingdom. And then the Lord showed me every area where they fell short, I knew it would drive you to me. And surely it did. Let us come boldly for mercy and grace in the time of need, that we may find grace, God's ability in us to do the things we're not able to do without Him, that we may find mercy. Why does God say, come boldly and confidently before the throne of grace, that you may find mercy before grace? Because you need mercy somewhere, because you goofed up somewhere. And you need mercy in that area. And you need grace in that area. So, that's what the Lord showed me. I imparted natural things to you that were in them. They'll all come out in the wash in the end. Amen? They're up there waiting for me now. I have the opportunity to lead them both to the Lord. I shouldn't have, but I did. Hallelujah. I believe God for those opportunities. Amen? Hallelujah. Natural abilities that came through them. And everywhere else where your parents fell short, you were driven to God in those areas. Amen? God knows what He's doing. Amen. It's not happenstance that we come into the earth through the parents that we come into the earth through. Amen. God uses all of these experiences to develop character in us, to develop strength in us, and to develop integrity in us. Amen. But I'll tell you, as mean as my father was, as much of an old goat as he could be. He could crack a joke that would make you laugh and make you love him all over again. Sometimes, I'm sure, he used humor to deal with his anger. He was angry. He was one angry man. Couldn't control his anger. Amen? And he would shout! I wonder where I got that ability. Hallelujah. Only he would... You know, the Bible says that shouting is a form of worship. Amen? The devil took... My father was anointed to shout. And the devil took it and perverted it. Amen? And he shouted at me all the time. That's how he talked to me. God anoints me to shout. It's an anointing of strength that's on my life. Amen? I'm not doing it out of anger, not for humanity. I'm angry with the devil. Amen? But I'm not angry. When I listen to myself preaching on TV, on TV and on DVD, and I say to Barbara, was I really shouting like that? I don't want those people to think that I'm angry with them. Barbara, I'm not. She says, they know. They know like I know. They know that you're not angry. That's just the way God uses me. That's just very natural to me. Amen? Hallelujah. It's my anointing, and it's an anointing of strength. And it's an anointing that Cape Cod needs and is privileged to have. And I don't say that boastfully. Amen? Amen? Hallelujah. We're preaching to the Lazarus generation around here. They're 6 feet under. And you got to shout through all the religion and the false doctrine to get through to them. The Lazarus generation. Who called them that? Mario Murillo. They're under 6 feet of... I won't use that word. But they're under there, and we got to shout them up. Amen? Hallelujah. My dad, as angry as he was, as much as he would shout and go out of control, he could use humor. He could tell a joke that would bring instant healing between me and him, whether he even knew what was going on or not. Maybe he's my dad. It's very natural to love your parents, even when they're abusive. Amen? It's an intrinsic thing. God put it in us to love our parents. Amen? Humor. 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 He would tell a joke that would make me love him all over again. It has a supernatural healing quality. Amen? It can make the difference between encouragement and discouragement. And this is a word that the Lord's put on my heart. We're going to go into Abraham here, and we're going to pass through some points pretty quickly. But before we do that, the Lord told me to speak to fathers, yes, in particular, but to mothers as well, too. To use humor in your relationship with your children, no matter how bad things are, how far they may have gotten away, how damaged your relationship with them might appear to be. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. The Bible says there's a time to laugh. The Bible says there's a time to dance. The Bible says there's a time for joy. And if you're looking for restoration in a relationship with one or more of your children, the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you today, humor and joy will do it. I'm not talking about condoning sin. Sin is wrong. I'm talking about loving them in spite of themselves and using humor to do it. I probably would have killed myself because of the way my father treated me if he didn't tell a joke every once in a while that would relieve the pressure he forced me to live under and that would place a demand on that intrinsic love given of God that was on the inside of me, causing it to rise up for him again. If I didn't kill myself, I may have killed him because I thought about it. Amen? I'm not complaining. I'm talking to you about the use of humor to restore relationship amongst your children. Amen? Go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6 real quick. And then we'll look at Abraham. Amen? Ephesians chapter 6. Fathers have a tendency to provoke their children to wrath. Too many fathers. Fathers live under tremendous pressure in this earth today, more than any other time in all of human history, and have a tendency to take it out on the children. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 6, are you there? Look at something interesting Paul said. In verse 1, he said, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother." And I want you to know, as long as my father and mother lived as hard as they were on me, Barbara will bear witness, I always tried to honor them. I loved them. Amen. I did love them. I always tried to honor them. Hallelujah. And it's the first commandment with a promise. And what's the promise? That it may be well with thee in the earth, and that thou mayest live long. Mayest live long on the earth. The Bible says if you treat your parents honorably, things will go well with you on this earth, and you will live a long life. It's the first commandment where God promises something for obeying it. That's significant. And then look what he says. "And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath." It actually says, do not enrage them with your behavior, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. No, it's one thing to correct children. That's because you love them. But punishing them is wrong. The Bible doesn't instruct us to punish our children. That's from a principle of revenge. And that's what my dad would do. Something would go wrong in his life, he'd take it out on me. And even when I did something wrong, which I did occasionally, I was just as human as anybody else, of course. Amen? Ooh, he would punish me for it. He'd just go right over the edge. The Bible says don't do that. No, notice Paul's talking to fathers here, not mothers. He points out fathers. Mothers have a tendency to go too easy sometimes on the children. Fathers have a tendency to go too hard on the children. And that's why Paul said, go easy now and don't provoke them to wrath. You'll drive them away not only from you, you'll drive them away from me. I thought I was coming to Father's to church on Father's Day to get built up. Crying out loud, Pastor. Well, we're going to build you up. Amen. But we need to see what Paul said right here. Sometimes mom has a tendency to lighten up while dad has a tendency to tighten up. Sometimes too tight. So tight they drive the children away. And if you've done that, it's not too late to fix it. The word of the Lord to you today is humor is your answer if you can receive that. I'm not talking about making jokes at the expense of God's word. I'm not talking about making jokes at the expense of someone else's human dignity. I'm just talking about lightening things up so that they love you again and want to be around you again. There's something about making people laugh that opens their heart to you and makes them want to believe in you. Amen? Laughter can supernaturally heal the most shattered relationship between a parent and a child. You believe that? And the Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. God knows what he's talking about. You know, the average adult laughs 15 times a day. I was sharing this with Barbara and Maurice just the other day. The average adult laughs 15 times a day. The average child laughs 400 times a day. Somewhere between childhood and adulthood, we have lost on average 385 laughs a day. It's time to restore the laughter, amen, and our relationships with our family, with our children, amen. Hallelujah. Now, I believe in discipline, as you know. I believe in excellence in ministry. I don't believe in coming to church looking sloppy. I don't believe in coming to church and slouching, amen. I don't believe in being tardy. You know all this about me, because the Word of God encourages us to exercise fruits of the Spirit, to walk in the fruits of the Spirit. Until we walk in the fruits of the Spirit, we can't walk in the gifts of the Spirit or in the power of God. Amen? And I have to tell you, punctuality is a fruit of the Spirit. It's called faithfulness. God doesn't want us being late for church. He wants us in church on time. Amen? People who run out of here because I encourage them to, you know, to don't be tardy, be early. If you're not early, you're late. They run out of here saying, he's too disciplined. They're saying that about God and about God's Word. They're running from God's Word. I believe in tightening up. I believe in excellence in life and ministry. But I also believe in lightening up. Amen? Particularly as parents with children. Amen? I'm not talking about condoning their sin. I'm talking about disagreeing with them without being so doggone disagreeable all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. And if you know, if you're not, this is, Lord put this strongly on my heart on Thursday to bring this word to you. humor. Let humor enter back in to your relationship as a dad, as a mom, as a believer. Amen? Well, I'm just not funny. Well, you ask the Holy Spirit. You can pray. You can say, Holy Spirit, help me to tickle that funny bone. And He'll help you to do that. It's not only important that we have the faith of a little child, but we must also have the funny bone of a little child. Amen? And so I'm just encouraging you this morning by the Spirit of God within me and the Spirit of God upon me to reintroduce humor into your relationship with your children if you've let it slip away. Amen? It's time to make up for lost laughter with children is what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to you today. No matter how bad your relationship might be with any of your grown children, looking for silly ways to make them laugh is your answer. Learn to make fun of yourself with them. Amen? Learn to make fun of yourself with them. Get a little book of good, clean jokes. Learn some of them. And look for Holy Ghost opportunities to insert them in. Amen? When you're talking with them, when you're visiting with them. And it sounds silly, doesn't it? But it's not. Learn to laugh at yourself. Tell them why you can't wear red T-shirts. Because every time you do, little kids follow you shouting, it's the Kool-Aid guy. Hallelujah. I don't know what to tell them, but you know, amen. Hallelujah. Tell them you can't go lie on the beach, because when you do, all the kids start yelling, Free Willy! Free Willy! Come on now. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Let's go back to Abraham. You receive that, the supernatural health, the supernatural help, the supernatural healing in your relationships with your grown children, if you'll receive this simple word of instruction here today. You know, Paul said Adam and Eve got into trouble for one reason. They escaped the simplicity that's in the gospel. The Bible says very simply that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And if you're looking for healing, dad, even mom, in a relationship with a grown child, ask the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to help you to introduce some humor into that relationship and lighten up on them. Lighten up on them. Quit preaching them. Quit trying to teach them. You can't do that anymore. If they're beyond 16 years old, you can't do that with them anymore. They're going to make up their own minds. They've pretty much made up their own minds. But you can still impact them without ramming the Word of God down their throats. You can still impact them with humor. Humor. Humor will open their hearts up to you again. And then when they have a need, they'll come to you. And then when they ask you, you can introduce the solution from the Word of God. There is a time to laugh. There's a time to dance. And a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, the Spirit of the Lord is saying. Now, let's go over here and talk about Abraham. Throughout history, he's affectionately been called Father Abraham. The way he stood by faith to receive God's promises to him has helped billions of believers worldwide to stand firm on God's word as they themselves go through or have gone through difficult times. Abraham's life is a great example to all who are fathers. In particular, he shows us how to leave a godly heritage to our children. So we're going to look at him by building an acrostic from the word father, F-A-T-H-E-R. We're going to take the word F, the word A, the T, the H, the E, and the R. We're going to build an acrostic. If you don't know what an acrostic is, you'll see as we go. You want to write these down, you can turn to Genesis chapter 12. Real quick, if you would, we're not going to spend a whole lot of time with each one of them. Amen? But you're going to be blessed. And if you're not a dad, these principles will work for you too in your relationship with family members and other people. Amen? You're there in Genesis chapter 12? The F, to me, in father, in the life of Abraham, stands for faith, of course. Amen? Right up here, my favorite word. F-A-I-T-H. What does this mean, Barbara, to you? The father's attitude in the heart. That's good. That's what Barbara calls faith. Amen? Today we're looking at the word father, though. And the F in father to me stands for faith. Look right here in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 1. Say amen if you're there. Amen. Now the Lord had said to Abram, it's before he changed his name to Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. Jump down to verse 4. So Abraham obeyed in faith. He departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran, or Haran, however you might say that. Amen? Hallelujah. And I thought I felt bad getting called down to Cape Cod at 55. At least I knew where I was going. Abraham didn't even know where he was going. Yes, sir, he said. And can I get you some goat's milk while I'm up? He departed to a land not knowing where he was going, a country he had never been to before. And he said, I'll catch up with you there. Abraham obeyed by faith, even though he had no idea in the world what it was going to result in. And every time a father or a spiritual mentor obeys God, he leaves an example for his children to follow. Amen? A father's obedience and faithfulness always sets the stage for the miraculous in his family. No act of obedience ever goes unrewarded by God, even though sometimes that doesn't appear to be true. No act of obedience ever goes unrewarded by God. Abraham left his sons a heritage by faith. God told him to do something, no questions asked. He didn't consult with flesh and blood. That's what Paul said he wouldn't do in Galatians 1, 14 and 15. He said once he heard something from God, he would no longer consult with flesh and blood. It's just him and God. We're going to walk this through. I'm going to obey him. Amen? Every father should leave their children a heritage of faith in God in both word and deed. They should talk the talk and they should walk the walk. Amen? And sometimes walking it is more important than talking it. The A in father, at least for me, stands for availability. If you'll go to Genesis chapter 21, Abraham was always available to his family. You know, marriage and family is the number one institution established by God. Amen? Some ministers in particular are just absolutely guilty of neglecting their families to build that ministry, as if the ministry is the number one institution established by God when it's not. The number one institution, as you go to Genesis chapter 21, established by God is marriage and family, Adam and Eve. Amen? Genesis chapter 21, verse 5, Abraham, here he is 25 years later. He's 100 years old when his son Isaac was born unto him. And Sarah said, God hath made me to laugh. God likes laughter, you know. You know, Psalm 2:4 says God himself laughs. God laughs. He's a happy God. In spite of the mess he's got to deal with down here on planet Earth, he knows how it's going to turn out. So do you. So get some joy about yourself, yo, go. If you haven't been submitting to the spirit of joy, the Bible says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. God wants you to have joy. If you're not walking in joy, if you're worrying about your children, you're blocking the spout where the deliverance comes out. Amen. Show God you believe and just let Him go. Release Him and tell God you trust in Him with them. Amen. Sarah said, God made me to laugh so that all that hear will laugh with me. And she said, who would have said unto Abraham that Sarah should have given children suck? For I have borne him a son in his old age. And the child grew and was weaned. And Abraham, look what Abraham did. He didn't say, Mama, throw a party. Abraham made a great feast the same day that Isaac was weaned. This was a customary weaning feast that all Hebrews had when the child was leaving infancy and going into childhood. But look who threw the party. Abraham made a great feast. Amen? The Message Bible says, Abraham threw a big party on the day Isaac was weaned. He wasn't too busy. He wasn't too afraid. He wasn't too dumb to spend time with his family and let them know you matter to me above all. Amen? This reveals to us that One of the most important things a father can do is spend time with their children, young or old. Amen? Doesn't matter what you do. It only matters that you do something. Amen? Amen? So, hanging out with dear old dad might be boring at times. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you, there's hardly anything I wouldn't give to be able to spend some joyful time with my dad. Amen? I don't care what it is. I don't care what we do. Go to the Dairy Queen. I don't care. A sporting event. Call me on the phone. Put a card in the mail. Something that says, I think about you just like you think about me. It's so important. Hallelujah. They want to know that you care enough to stop and be with them. Amen? Some dads are so dumb about this. Can I say that? As I look at the women. So dumb! They're not even getting this. This is the simplest thing in the world. But the most powerful thing you can do with a child is just give them something that says, I love you. Do something. Spend some time that says, I love you. Some dads are so dense. They think there's a fence around the stock market. You can wake up. Amen? The simplest things can bring the miraculous into your family. Amen? Take them over the feeding trough. You know the trough? What's the name of the trough over there? Old Country Buffet. And just sit there and let them talk about what they want to talk about. Amen? Don't you do the talking. I just want to take you somewhere to eat and then just let them do the talking. Amen? Listen, God's a party in God. Do you realize that? That's where Abraham got that idea for the weaning feast. You know, in the book of Leviticus, in Leviticus chapter 23, there are 8 feasts of Jehovah listed in that chapter. There's the weekly Sabbath feast, Passover feast, Feast of Unleavened Bread, First Fruits, Pentecost, Trumpets, Atonement, Tabernacles. God wants people to have a good time. God wasn't trying to spoil their fun with those feasts. He was encouraging them to have fun to the degree that he instructed them, he commanded them to have a party every 6 weeks on average. Some of those parties lasted for weeks. Yes, it was a time to praise and to worship God, but yes, it wasn't time to enjoy one another in the midst of the number one institution that God's established in this earth, family. How am I doing? I'm not mad at anybody. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Barbara tells me, we've been married for coming up on 20 years now. She's told me more times, and I don't get tired of hearing about it, because it's precious. How her dad, he was a pastor too. When she was a little girl, she'd go into his bedroom, he'd be doing something, he'd reach up into one of the drawers in his dresser and pull out a little fire stick candy and give it to her. And she said, they're always stale, but the memories are not. He always put something in her hand that said, I love you, sweetheart. He just stop what he's doing and just give her something sweet. Just turn his focus and his attention to her. What I would give for a fire stick from my daddy. Now, let me just tell you, God has graced me to live with that man and the way that he left things in this earth. And I am more than confident that I will indeed have the relationship in heaven that I couldn't have on earth. I know he lived in fear. His daddy was cruel to him. He used to get drunk and come home and break stuff in the house over his head. There's a fitting example of fatherhood. He's an angry man. He's a scared man. And I know, even above all, the devil was after the anointing on my life. Trying to get me to check out early. Have either him kill me or me kill myself. Well, he wasn't successful. Amen? Hallelujah. So I'm not mad at my dad. I'm just saying. Barbara's dad cared enough to put something in her little hand that said, I love you. Amen? And all dads need to have enough brass to do that, even with grown children, male or female. Something that says, I love you. That's what Abraham did. Amen? And I'm not talking high-dollar stuff. I'm just talking little things that just say, I think about you all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. So take them to the trough for a weaning feast or whatever you want to do, but just do something. The T in Father stands for tested. Hallelujah. Abraham set the example for his son Isaac when it came to passing the test of life. Where are we? Genesis 21? Go right next door to Genesis chapter 22 if you would. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 I have a daughter I haven't seen in 27 years. I won't go into the details. But again, it was just an attack on the anointing on my life. And I married a person outside of the will of God that I should not have before I knew God. And it's just amazing. Joshua asked me today, he said, can people in the world before they're even saved get the inner witness? Can they get the red light, green light from God telling them to do something or not do something? I said, yes, they can. Not as strong and not as clear as a born-again person whose spirit is in union with God. The world calls it the gut instinct or intuition. We call it the inner witness. Amen. I knew the day I was marrying that girl. Don't do it. I never had a witness against something like that in my life. I completely overrode it. And I went and I married that girl. And I'm paying for it still to this day. And we had one child. She's 30 years old now. I haven't seen her in 27 years, but I still reach out every time I possibly can. And I tell her, I love you. I love you. I love you. She's been so hateful to me. Her mother didn't want Jesus. Her mother bolted. When I came to Jesus, her mother went the other way and went the other way fast and hard. Amen? Didn't want Jesus. I wanted Jesus. Hallelujah. Took that child away from me. I have done everything in my power. I can't force her. She has free will. But I want you to know I'm doing everything that I tell you to do here today. I put my feet where I'm encouraging you to put your feet. Amen? She's an adult now. I'm still to this day, every way I possibly can, through emails, a little cards sometimes, or letters, whatever, letting her know, I love you. I forgive you. I love you. I want you in my life. You're my daughter. I'm your father. I did not leave you. I did not want to lose you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Daddy, daddy, daddy. And it's working, and it's going to work, and it's going to turn things around. Amen. I'm doing it by faith. Amen. Hallelujah. Every time the Holy Ghost moves on me, I move towards her. And I remind myself faithfulness and obedience to the Holy Spirit of God within always sets the stage for the miraculous. I'll have a good report for you soon. Hallelujah. Because love conquers all. Love conquers all. Hallelujah. It came to pass in 22, Tifa tested. Genesis 22, verse 1, it came to pass after these things, God tested. It says tempted, but it actually says tested for the purpose of proving. Just like he's doing to us here at the gathering. Amen. And he said to Abraham, behold, he said unto him, Abraham. And Abraham said, behold, here am I. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham laid in bed all the next morning, just couldn't bear the thought of it, so he just stayed there. Is that what it says? It says he rose up. He not only rose up, he rose up early the next morning, saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, clave or cut the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went into the place of which God had told him. Now this took tremendous obedience. Amen. He had to gather up the wood, cut the wood, load the donkey, get Isaac ready, get the servants ready, walk for 3 days to Mount Moriah, all the while thinking, God gave me this boy supernaturally. He's just going to have to give him back to me supernaturally if he's really going to make me kill him. Amen? But he obeyed. What an act of deliberate obedience during a time of extreme testing and trial. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's the kind of obedience to God children need to see in their fathers. Amen? Just flat out obedience no matter what it seems like it's going to cost initially. It's a weak cop-out and a crime before God. When a father says, I'll take care of their material needs, their mother can take them to church and take care of all that stuff. That's a crime before God. That's a weak cop-out and a crime before God. Amen? That's why the prison systems in this country are bursting at the seams. Because too many fathers say, I'll be the provider, but the mother can take them to church and all that other stuff. It is another stuff. A relationship with God is the most important of all their relationships in this earth. Let me give you some statistics really quick, if I may. A father's spiritual and natural input is a guarantee that their children will be 5 times less likely to commit suicide. just a father's spiritual and natural, just a little input into the child's life, 5 times less likely to commit suicide. 32 times less likely to run away. 20 times less likely to have behavioral disorders. 14 times less likely to commit rape. Most guys who rape are frustrated with their dads. 9 times less likely to drop out of high school. 10 times less likely to use drugs and alcohol. That's why I was 10 times more likely to use drugs and alcohol, and I got so addicted only God could get me free supernaturally. 9 times less likely to end up in state-operated institutions, prisons and mental institutions. Just from a little love from dad. Not having a good dad is no excuse not to be one. Amen? It takes more than donating sperm to an open womb to make a man a father. Just like it takes more than birthing a child to make a woman a mother. Did you hear that? A father's role is greatest after birth, not before. Conceiving children presents no challenges. It's fun and it's easy. I said it's fun and it's easy. There's no challenge to conceiving a child, but it's rearing them according to the precious, holy, written word of God after birth that determine whether dad is a sperm donor or a man. I'll move on from here. T stands for tested. Amen. Hallelujah. Whew. Hallelujah. Abraham showed his boy Isaac. No matter how extreme the test, son, we must continue to walk with God. Amen? H stands for help. F-A-T-H in Father. H stands for help. Amen? We saw this in Miracles and Angels, part 1 last week. In Genesis chapter 24, we won't go over there. Abraham did everything that he could to help find a godly wife for his son Isaac and lead him in the right direction spiritually. Remember, in Genesis chapter 24, we read last week how he sent his servant out to find a wife for Isaac. And the servant said, what if I can't find one? And Abraham said, by faith, God will send his angel and lead you right to her. He made a faith declaration and released his angels on behalf of Isaac. Fathers need to make faith declarations and release their angels on behalf of the children. Hebrews 1:14, angels are ministering spirits, sent forth to minister for those who shall be heirs of salvation. Psalm 103, 20 and 21, the angels of God hearken unto the voice of God's word. All fathers must commission the angels of God to help their children. And start today if you haven't been doing it. Amen? It'll work for you. Start working for you immediately. Amen? And every dad should ask a child who turns to them for help. Have you looked at the situation from every angle? Well, yeah, I think I have, Dad. Well, then what does the Word of God say about it? Well, I don't know, Dad. I haven't looked at the Bible. Well, then you haven't looked at it from every angle. And then tell them what the Bible says about that problem. And if you don't know what the Bible says about that problem, say, I'm going to do a little bit of research. I'll get back to you on that one. And then call the pastor. And if the pastor doesn't have the answer, get another pastor. If your pastor can't counsel you according to the Word of God, how are you going to counsel your family according to the precious, holy, written Word of God? The H for Father stands for help. We need to be able to help our children according to the precious, holy Word of God. Some dads are ashamed to mention the name of Jesus to their children. And Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verse 26, he said, if you're ashamed of me before I come, I'll be ashamed of you when I come. Amen. You don't need to even go there. Amen? F-A-T-H-E. The E stands for encouragement. Right there in Genesis chapter 22. You're still there, aren't you? You getting anything out of this morning? A simple acrostic that will help you as a father, that will help you as a mother, that will help you as a spiritual mentor. Amen? Hallelujah. Someone in this room is a father-to-be. That means that you already be a father. Amen? Hallelujah. And you need to know these things. Abraham encouraged Isaac to have faith in God. Look at Genesis chapter 22. We're having to move quickly. Are you there? In verse 7, Isaac spake unto Abraham his father as they were heading to Moriah. I believe that they were heading for Calvary where Jesus was crucified, and I believe Isaac is the type of Jesus. He spake unto Abraham his father, and he said, my father! Abraham said, here I am, my son. And he said, behold, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering? Imagine how Abraham felt when he heard that question. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went, both of them, together. So by the way, this is the first time Abraham prophesied in the Bible, and he was not only referring to providing a lamb in place of Isaac, he was also talking, he was prophesying about Jesus coming as the Lamb of God to pay the penalty for our sins. First time Abraham prophesied in the Bible. But Abraham said, when his son said, where's the lamb that we're going to offer? Abraham said, in essence, let's not worry about that, son. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. Let's just keep walking together. That's what fathers need to tell their children. They're in the most extreme trials and testing of their lives. If you don't have the answers, I don't have the answers. But I know this, God can be trusted. God will make a way where there is no way. He's God. But let you and I keep walking together. Amen? Parents need to tell their children when all of your possibilities are exhausted, there's still all the impossibilities lined up and waiting for you. Abraham encouraged Isaac. We too must encourage our children no matter how old they might be, young or old. Amen? You know, Christianity is like democracy. It needs to be rebirthed in every generation or it'll die. Amen? Hallelujah. Fathers need to not be ashamed to tell their children about Jesus. You're not getting beat up here today, God. I know. I mean, fathers, hallelujah. I'm coming on strong, I know, but that's my anointing, amen? That's just part of my mystique. Amen? You want to hear something that shivers me timbers as a pastor, that shudders me bones? Is to hear people say to me, Pastor, I can't be in church on Sunday. I got family coming in. Ooh! I can't stand to hear that. You tell them the way, but then you won't show them the way. I've had more people say that to me, even right here on Cape Cod. Can't be there Sunday, and we're praying for their family. They come, they want prayer for their family salvation, laborers, the whole bit. And then when the opportunity comes, they're coming to town to show their faith, to walk the walk and not just talk the talk, they don't go to church because they're in town. And they call me and tell me, can't be in church on Sunday. Those people, my family, that we're believing God for together, they're going to be here, so I'm not going to make it. And I want to say to them, do you have any idea what you look like to them? Are you really that dense? You believe God for their salvation. They come to town and you don't invite them to church, and even if they don't want to come, at least go yourself. Show them your commitment to God. Shiver me timbers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Have a soccer game. Amen. That's the devil scheduling school sports and things like that on Wednesdays and Sundays to keep you out of church. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Maurice. That's shocking to hear that as a pastor. You believe in God to save them. You tell them the way and you refuse to show them the way. Amen. You need to stop and think what your family thinks about you for that. Amen. And the R in Father, finally, F-A-T-H-E-R. We just talked about the importance of always encouraging our children to walk with God no matter what. Even when it seems like there's no answers. Even when it seems like there's no way to get through whatever they're going through. You remember this, dads, to tell your children always, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. How? I don't know. Neither do you. So there. Hallelujah. That's a copywritten statement, but I give it to you. I give you permission to use it. How? I don't know, son, but neither do you. So there, just trust him. R stands for responsibility and reverence. Abraham was a very responsible man, as we've seen in all of these verses of Scripture, who raised his children in the reverence of God. All fathers have the responsibility of leading their family in the things of God. It's never too late. Say it's never too late. No matter how old they are, they need to know that you pray and expect results. They need to know that you read your Bible and that you believe it. They need to know you're not ashamed of Jesus, you're not ashamed to speak His Word, to pray in His name, or to give thanks in His name. Amen? They need to know that dear old Dad is not ashamed of Jesus. And the Word of God promises us no act of obedience ever goes unrewarded with God. Never. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, in closing, that old goat of a dad of mine, hallelujah, I know I keep saying that, and I want you to know I forgive him. Amen? It's just a good illustration. He was an old goat, meaner than a junkyard dog, but one day, in the midst of my horrible drug and alcohol addiction, he said these words to me. Have you tried God? Have you tried God? That's what he said to me. And something exploded on the inside of me. That old goat of a dad of mine said, have you tried God? That was my dad. So I did. And here I am today on his counsel, his advice. One of, probably next to my mother, my worst enemy in life. He gave me the direction that ended me up here today, preaching the gospel to you. Didn't matter how he treated me. He was my dad. Amen? He gave me a word of advice. He said to me, I tried him one time in a bathroom stall in a men's room. I got on my knees and I asked him for something, and he did it for me. And I figured, well, if he answered the prayer of an old goat, I figured he'll help a drug addict. And he did. My dad directed me toward God. And then God used me to get him into heaven. He was my dad, as much of a monster as he was in my life. His voice had great influence and great impact in me. And so does yours, Dad. Amen? You are the most significant voice, you and Mom, in your children's lives. No matter what it might look like otherwise, your words are the words they think on all the time. So when a dad tells his children they need to be true to our Savior Jesus, it goes deep. It goes deep. Amen? Deeper than anything spoken by anybody at any time. Hallelujah. No, if you'll dare to just say it to them, no matter what direction in life they take, they'll never get away from those words. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are old, they'll not depart from it. Proverbs 22:16. No matter how old they are, you can plant seeds of the gospel in them. If you'd like to stand up, you may. And those gospel seeds, if you water them with prayer, they'll grow. F is for faith. A, Dad, is for availability. T is for testing and the obedience it requires. H is for help that should always be available to our children, no matter what their age or what their circumstances. And I'm not talking about condoning sin. Sin is wrong. Amen? But we can still love them, and we can let them know where we stand on their sin. And we can let them know, I despise what you do, but I love you. You can say that. I despise what you do, but I love you. And that will never, ever change. Hallelujah. E stands for encouragement. Our children need our encouragement no matter how old they are or how much the devil tells us they don't need it from us. R stands for responsibility and reverence. Amen. Dads have a responsibility to teach their children to be responsible towards God and have reverence for Him. Amen. And our actions speak louder than our words. Amen. Amen. Give me an F. Give me an F. Give me an A. Give me a T. Give me an H. Give me an E. And give me an R. Hallelujah. Even when you have to correct your children, make sure your strokes are upward. And remember what the Lord said at the beginning of this message. If it seems that you've lost a relationship with a grown child, the Lord said, humor, trust Him. Humor is your answer. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Douglas MacArthur, he was a man's man. He's a war hero. And he believed in everything that I shared with you here today. He said these words. He said, by profession, I am a soldier. And I take much pride in that fact. But I am prouder, infinitely prouder, to be a father. It is my hope that my son will remember me not from the battlefield, but in the home, repeating with him our simple daily prayer. Now, to me, that's datitude. I said that's datitude. We need to get some datitude, dads. Amen. Barbara Bush was once asked, which of your children do you love the most? Her answer, whichever one's in the most trouble. So many of us, the one who's in the most trouble becomes the black sheep. And we pick at him and snap at him and push him away and reject him when we need to reach out and pull him in and use humor in doing it. Amen? Now, I don't know if you're getting anything out of this, but I'm going to leave here today believing that somebody got something somehow, because it's what the Holy Ghost put on my heart. Amen? Hallelujah. Even if you have no children, you're a spiritual father and leader to someone, and everything I said here today applies to you. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, help us to walk in faith and to follow the steps of Abraham. Lord, I release an impartation, an anointing of joy and humor in the lives of every dad in this room. Impartation of joy and humor, God. Wisdom in the Holy Ghost. And Father, I believe the same for the women in the name of Jesus. For mom, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. An impartation, joy, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy, joy, joy unspeakable and full of glory in the Holy Ghost. Receive an impartation of joy. Take it and impart it to your children. Take it and impart it to your offspring and to those in your world of influence. Let's lift our hands and worship God this morning. Thank you that you are a loving Father. God, we thank you for the faith of Abraham, God. We thank you for all that you've taught us about Abraham in Scripture. And we make a decision as a conscious act of our own free will to lighten up with our children, God. Oh, I'm not saying compromise the word. No, 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 no. No, no, I'm saying stand on the word and withstand sin. But let them know, listen, I love you. I don't agree with what you're doing, but I love you. And you need to hear Daddy say it. And you need to hear Mama say it. We love you. We love you. We love you with the unconditional love of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you need to never forget that. Daddy and Mama will always love you, even when we disagree with you. Hallelujah. Now, some of you people in this room, hallelujah, you've been alive a whole lot longer than me, and I didn't tell you probably anything you don't already know. But I gave you what the Holy Spirit gave me. Maybe some of you have been, you walked in this light at one time and you backed off. Hallelujah. Well, it's time to put your pedal to the metal and reintroduce humor into your relationship with your grown child. Amen. And love, and don't be afraid to tell them, I love you. Don't be afraid to do things that shows them, I love you.